in Fort Smith. He follows what's going on nationally in the financial world, but especially ties it into what's going on locally. John, how are things going today?
Well, it's kind of interesting. The futures are down pretty heavily right now, about 80 points on the Dow, primarily because the second quarter advanced number of the GDP, gross domestic product, you know, that's the sum of all of the goods and services our country produces. So this is the government's first estimate. There'll be two revisions to that of what the economy did in the second quarter. And the number came in at a 2.4% growth rate. It was projected to be about 2.5. It was 2.7 the previous quarter. Not a horrible number, but really not showing much signs of growth. But on the local front, we really got some good news yesterday after the market closed. Baldor, one of our outstanding local corporate citizens, reported a very significant quarter. Sales were up 14% the second quarter of 2010 versus second quarter of 2009. Their net income was up 192%. That's certainly a good number. Operating margin, which is a key number, was up. It was 14.6%. It was 11.5% the same period last year. But here's what I thought was really interesting. Of course, we all know that Baldor has been a leader for many years in making energy-efficient motors. They've got this kind of motor they make that's called a Super E motor. And there's some standards that are going to be coming down that companies are going to have to adopt. They're going to have to purchase these more energy-efficient motors. Well, it appears that many companies are electing to adopt these energy-efficient motors even earlier than expected, because the Super E motors sales were up 25% for the quarter versus the same quarter of last year. And also, John McFarland says that the incoming orders that they received in each month for the second quarter were up double digits, and they're going to be up double digits again in July, and they now have a more than a $200 million backlog. So good news for a good local employer there. And let's talk a little bit about China, some interesting things going on there. Yesterday, China officially became the number two largest economy in the world, bypassing Japan. And at the rate they're growing, the experts at the World Bank say that they will become the number one economy in the world and blow past the United States in 2025. But before they get out the horns and the party hats over there, the per capita income in China is still only $3,800 a year, which, of course, is just a fraction of what it is in the United States. So even with all of our problems, we'll take our 2.4% growth rate versus their growth for their economy grew so far this year 11.1% for the first half of 2010. But they're number two and breathing down our necks. And related to companies, Honda reported a record profit of $3.2 billion, but tying that into China, one of the problems that they're having strikes and unrest at their plants in China, and also the other Japanese manufacturers are reporting the same thing. So not everything is wonderful in other parts of the world either. Our problems are not just here in the United States. But by the way, Honda reporting that huge profit, a record profit of $3.2 billion, their sales were up about 18%. And, Bill, yesterday was kind of interesting. Two different presidents of the Federal Reserve Banks kind of said things that rolled the markets. James Bullard, who's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, which is the region that we're primarily in, said that, quote, that if the Federal Reserve continues to keep its target interest rate near zero for an extended period, it can have the counterproductive effect of encouraging a, quote, Japan-like deflation trap. People have been asking me, which is the biggest risk, John, deflation or inflation? And my answer is yes. In the short run, it's deflation. In the long run, it's inflation. But then, not to be outdone, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, a guy by the name of Richard Fisher, comes in and says that one of the reasons that we're not seeing job growth, job creation, is because of uncertainty about fiscal policy and regulatory reform. And I would say amen to that. How can businesses plan when we don't even know what the estate tax rate is, the corporate tax rate's going to be next year, the individual tax rate's going to be next year, what's going to happen with cap and trade, just go on and on and on and on. So now, a week from today, Bill, we get a huge number. A week from today, we get the employment data for the month of July, including the unemployment rate, the number of non-farm payroll jobs that were created in the month of July, and the market's going to be hanging on that because it's about jobs, and that's all that matters right now.
Well, it is about jobs, and one of these issues of borrowing money, they say we've got to get businesses a lot of money to borrow, but businesses a lot of times don't want to borrow that money because they're afraid to borrow it for what might be happening in the future. You know?
Yeah, it's like that old joke about the crowd saying, give the ball to Leroy, and Leroy says when he's in the huddle, Leroy doesn't want the ball.
Yeah.
So that's true, and deflationary environment certainly does not encourage lending on the part of banks, so Anyway, we may see some movement in that interest rate sooner than some people think. You get two presidents of Federal Reserve Banks basically saying we need to do something.
John,